Welcome.
Take
three. All right, so take three. Welcome to Care Discuss, and today.
Oh.
What was that not supposed to be?
Oh, you can say whatever you want now. So we have a returning host today, and Josh is here.
Hello.
Sup. And then we have a special guest today, and it is one of our coworkers at the Wellness Center, and is Spencer over here.
Hey, how's it going? I don't know.
I was going well. Spencer's one of our other trainers in the Wellness Center, and this is like we already had like Paige and Rex onto here, and this is just another one of those types of podcasts with people at the Wellness Center.
Build me up, Troy.
All right, so Spencer used to be my fit for life person. Did I do well?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Because
thank you.
He did well. He was actually one of the first people I met in the Wellness Center because I did a project with you, the athlete nutrition project, and you taught me about blocks with
the zone.
Zone, Sarah and Veronica.
That's right.
That was a good time.
I hated you guys because you tried to get me off milk.
And we weren't about that, so.
No.
All right, so what do you do, Spencer? What do you do at the Wellness Center now?
Now, this is probably my fifth stop. I'm back to a trainer. I haven't been just a regular trainer since like 2017. Yeah, it's been a while. But yeah, I've had multiple places. I've been lead wellness coach. I've been the Fit for Life coordinator. I've been a trainer. I've done an internship everywhere.
So since you've been to so many jobs at the Wellness Center, which one would you say is your favorite out of the five?
Yeah. Trainer. By far. Yeah. Just being a foot soldier here in the gym, seeing everything day to day stuff. Oh, it's so much fun just being able to work with people.
Oh, yeah. It's like training is fun for me. It's the only thing I've been doing. But it's like it's a passion, or it's something that like we've learned for so many years, and now we can actually teach it to other people.
Yeah.
Because it gets us that little ball of fire that we had when we first wanted to go to school here.
Sure.
So you're a certified CrossFit trainer, right?
So I'm a level one, yeah, and we're getting my level two this year.
So what do the levels mean for CrossFit?
So we have sort of a pyramid structure going on, nothing to do with like summer sales, but so you have your level ones, that's kind of like very basic CrossFit knowledge. And then the level two, you go back and define and refine your coaching skills, kind of how you can do in a group setting, how to improve people. Level threes, they are a quote unquote coach. They know everything down to like human anatomy. They get tested on that as well. And then everything underneath it. And then level four is you're like amazing. So amazing, like, as a coach.
So you go to they'll have like seminars and things to go to. And, yep. So has there ever been a CrossFit trainer that's started off in CrossFit and then advanced their way to the top in CrossFit and then get hired at like another college or a university or a company?
Off the top of my head, I can't really think of a name, especially for going back to a college. But actually, have you heard of Rich Froning? It's kind of hard to miss him in the sport of CrossFit. He won the games four times. He started out as a strength and conditioning coach back in his, you know, college where he was at, and then got into it. And that's how he got his start. But a lot of the big level fours will have their, you know, CSCS. And so they're kind of very well-rounded. But
That's very interesting. Something that I've noticed within CrossFit is that they there's like a it's like a community of people, and they have a good big support system.
For
what
sure.
have you seen with that?
Yeah, I mean, you could easily come to here at the school and work out for free, but a lot of people choose to pay the price to go to the CrossFit gym because of that community. It's a huge push to have people working towards the same thing. You know, everybody's doing the WOD. We're all suffering together. And everybody's at different levels, but we're all pushing for each other. If you really want to see how CrossFit works, just come watch an open workout on a Friday night. That is so much fun to be a part of.
Watching the CrossFit games, I'm just like, I like get hyped just watching on Netflix at home. Yeah. So I can only imagine how it is in person.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I totally get like that. You get that type of environment that you want to be in. Yeah. I totally get it. When I'm back home working out, I choose to pay for a week pass versus just going to a free gym that I know I can go to. Because totally. That atmosphere just changes the game.
Yeah.
Changes the mentality of your work ethic.
Yeah, that's especially true. Like, if you go to a place that has, like, that kind of, like what Josh said, that mentality that it's more of a culture, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a culture of, like, either whatever way of lifting you want. So, like, CrossFit, bodybuilding, strength training, sure. Powerlifting. Like, if you're in a culture that's like that, then you're going to be more, like, what you said, more motivated. Then, it's like they work for you.
Yeah.
So in that way.
It's really cool to watch it here at the local gyms. I work here at CrossFit Teton in town, and we've had a girl who's been doing it for maybe a year. She was doing the scaled weight on a workout during the open. That means you're not doing the prescribed, so it's the weight is lowered. And when she was getting towards the end, it was getting hard. You could tell, but she had a circle of people, maybe, you know, 30 people circling her as she was trying to get that bar up. And you would have thought she was a games athlete, the way people were treating her. That's they awesome. Were losing their minds. It was one of the coolest experiences to be part of.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, like that teamwork community is something that gets you motivating, pumps that adrenaline in. So we're going to go on.
Sorry, I was just going to say, it's even like that, what you just gave an example of, you even see that in the CrossFit games. It's like these people from all around the world are competing against each other because they literally, all they've trained for is to be the best athlete. And yeah. If they don't be the best, if they're not becoming the best athlete, then they're just like really down on themselves. They like kind of question everything.
Yeah.
But it's like you want the person next to you to almost be beating you because then it's going to push you. So yeah, mm-hmm. I see that everywhere.
It's like embraces competition.
Yeah.
And competition embraces... Shoot, there. I don't even know the saying. So whatever.
It's different with Matt Frazier. He just kind of blows everybody in the water. So no one's really gonna be close to him. But everyone else is. It's a close race. Besides Matt Frazier.
All right, Spencer. You've been a trainer for so long, and you've gotten into fitness. Why did you want to get into this field, or why did you get into exercising just in general?
Sure. My main goal that I'm leaning towards is going into therapeutic rec. If you don't know much about that major, it's using exercise as almost therapy for those who need it. I really want to work with adaptive athletes, those who are, let's say, bound to a wheelchair, stuff like that, you know, gain their confidence back. My background comes way back. I've never really played sports just because I've always been running. I don't really qualify running as a sport. I guess a team sport is the way to say it. At sixth grade, my dad already had me in personal training with trainers in South Ogden, and so every other day we were driving down just to go run and work on stuff. Did it all through high school, and then a little bit more. I finally had to succumb to one of my injuries. I had my left knee replaced, the whole patella. And so that kind of shot down my running times. And when you can't get that much money off a scholarship anymore, you kind of have to either pay or leave. And so I changed colleges actually because of that. But yeah, and so CrossFit was the outlet for me to still keep moving and still feel, you know, like I'm doing something when running kind of left my life. It's still there. I mean, I'm not exactly bound to not run. I do, but change things up.
So, something that we mentioned, like we talked a little bit before this, was that when you ran track before you got your injury, did you ever get burnt out when you were running? So, did you ever get burnt out while running?
I mean, at first it wasn't bad. You know, in high school, pretty much up until about senior year, it wasn't really. It was just for, you know, you were still having fun when you go to your meets. But when senior year comes along, you've got people watching you for college. And that's when it stopped its momentum for me, especially is when it become, you know, you need to be the best every single time you go. You're not there to mess around anymore. And your parents looking at you the same way. And so, yeah, it definitely did lose its interest in my life because of that.
And when you had your knee replaced, was it just like, did you just like pop it out of place, or was it just something like, I don't know what needs to happen with the knee replacement?
Yeah, I mean, an easy way to say this was there was no more cartilage left in there.
Oh,
and okay. So when I would run, my knee would just super swell up. It was disgusting to actually watch. And they were like, listen, you're grinding. Everything is getting gross up in there. So we got to go and fix that. So I was in a wheelchair for like a whole summer.
So how does like that affect you with like CrossFit now? Because it's a lot of, you're doing a lot of Olympic lifting. I mean, you're like, feel like you're constantly squatting. So you're putting a lot of pressure on your knee. So how do you kind of manage that? And does it, do you still feel pain or? Is it still tight?
It can be. It depends on the weather. And being up here in eastern Idaho, if it's freezing, I'm down for the count.
That's the same with me.
Yeah. So we're definitely going to move somewhere warm when we're done. It's not as bad. I don't feel the pain. I can feel irritable in my knee when it gets cold. But other than that, I think it's the constant squatting that's actually helped it be that way, be better. Than it was before. I definitely think running and runners need to do more squats, you know, help themselves out.
Yeah, because if they do squats, it means the muscles around the knees aren't going to be, like, tore up as bad.
Yeah.
So we've already asked you, like, why you want to coach CrossFit, right?
Sure.
So why did you choose, after, like, your knee replacement surgery, exercising with CrossFit?
To get into it for myself?
Yeah.
Dude, it's just so much fun. You look at people, different kind of exercise, you know, you got like some power lifters, they can do the main three lifts really well. Nothing bad about that. Or, runners who can run for miles and on miles on end. And those guys are athletes, nothing wrong about that. But it started to make sense to me that, you know, you don't just have to be one thing. It's really cool to feel superhuman that you can do everything. It doesn't come without a price. Like, it's still hard. But being able to deadlift and swim and run and do pull-ups and all that, it really piqued my interest because I wanted to feel like a superhuman, and you do every time you step into the box.
It's like a little taste of everything.
Yeah.
That's like something that I like lifting, like strength building, but then I can't swim to save my life. Like, I can't like tread water to save my life, so that's something that's like a functional thing I probably need to do. Or just live in the desert the rest of my life. I kind of like the desert right now, so.
And we'll take like some barbells out to the lake, and you know, swim, go out, do some deadlifts, go back in, and it's just so much fun. It's not just tied down to a Bowflex machine here at the gym.
Yeah, the Bowflex machine. Those were good commercials back when I was like 8. So something that I've seen you do, somewhere last summer or last fall, I saw you pushing a sled in the streets. So and then you have like a home gym. No, excuse me, you have like a home gym in your house, don't you?
I sure do. Complex. And yeah, I'm sure my wife will love this segment.
All right, so something that, what is like the basics of what you need in the home gym?
Yeah, and I think people overcomplicate this, you know. And I'm coming from like a strong man, like CrossFit background, and so I don't necessarily need all the things that a lot of people need. I think some of the big things that you need is a barbell with some rubber weights. You can drop that pretty much anywhere. I can find a parking lot when I'm on the road and just pull my barbell out of the car and start doing some lifts. Other things, if you have the money, get like a rower or some sort of like a bike cardio at home. You don't have to go running that far. Some sort of a squat rack is something that I really want to get into, like a yoke. It's multifunctional kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then some dumbbells, you know. You don't need anything crazy. I think people get the wrong idea when they hear you need dumbbells. So get anything ranging from 2 pounds to 120. But all you need for like CrossFit is like a 50-pound dumbbell. I mean, get two of those. You can do everything with that. Or a kettlebell. And that's basic. You know, basic as can be. I have a lot more than that. And I hope to get a lot more. It's kind of addicting to get things for your own gym. But that's very basic.
All right. So, um, So with like setting up a gym at your house, there's like ETS, Dick's Sporting Goods, Rogue, mm-hmm. not Sports Authority, Academy Sports. They all have weights everywhere. Walmart has them. Where are good places to buy weight training equipment?
Yeah. And what's really hard about the United States is that the online community kind of has a hold on gym equipment. And so online is basically the best place to go. We live in East Idaho right now, and so getting gym equipment to us is so hard. The shipping is outrageous, but it is worth it on some equipment. And so you have to be willing to suffer in some places and get better equipment in others. You know, like if I'm going to get a barbell, I'm not going to go to Walmart. I don't want that thing breaking when it's on my back, right?
Yeah, true.
Nothing bad about Walmart, because that's where I buy my dumbbells. But I'm going to go to Rogue. I'm going to go somewhere like Rogue, or, I mean, even Titan has a better barbell than you can get from those places. But you have to be willing to look around. Don't impulse buy when you're going into gym equipment.
Because it's really easy to, like, look into a – you go into, like, a store, even look online, and it's like, oh, okay, there's, like, a barbell. I need one now, today. Yeah. And then you see one that's like, you compare like, I don't know how much they are. How much is like a normal, like a average barbell?
It's 250, 350.
So we'll say like 350, right? You see one for $200. Is that like a good sale?
Or if you see it in the store, heck yeah.
Okay, so you don't just go buy one for $200, like $300 just because it's
$300. Just because it's right there in front of you.
Yeah, you can always like wait and look. The way I buy shoes is that way too. So if I want to go look on Nike, if it's $140, I'm just going to Amazon. If it's like $5 or $10 cheaper, then I'm just gonna get it from there.
Yeah.
So
When we look for barbells, we watch the Boneyard on Rogue. It's the same exact barbell. They just lower the price because it has like a scuff mark on it. It just doesn't fit the requirements. And so we've got a couple of bars that way. And don't think that I'm just going to go just a Rogue. You know, I've looked at Texas Barbells, Rep Fitness, RX, right? Something like that. Titan. I mean, there's a million places to go.
Mm-hmm. So, I like shoes. Do you like shoes, Josh?
I think everyone likes shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people that don't, except for people that don't wear shoes. But, never mind. Outdoors. So, outdoorsy people, the Tarzan.
The granolas.
The granolas, bars. and so, for me, I am a blind Nike man, but I heard that you had some takes on what type of shoes you like to wear. Yeah, you told me you had 55 pairs?
I do. I have a lot of shoes, and not just Reebok.
Okay, so...
let's hear your take on shoes.
Let's hear your take on shoes, yeah.
Dude, they're great. Love them. They all do different things. I think people buy outrageous, like, priced shoes for no reason, you know, just to look cool. I think it's really funny when I'm working as a personal trainer here at the gym and I see somebody wearing, like, the most expensive shoes, you know, the most Nobles even. I love when I see a pair of, like, $100, $160 Nobles and somebody's doing curls with them. That just makes me laugh because there's no reason, you know. Good for you for having them, but I think buy a shoe that has a purpose, find the right price, and go from there. I just have a lot of shoes because I like shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Not that thrifty, okay?
Like,
So what's your, like, most pride possession? What pair of shoes are they?
I think my white Nano 8s. They're white on white with, on the backside, they have, like, a porcelain accent to them.
Ooh.
And I love those shoes. I got them shortly after I'd been coaching for a year as a CrossFit instructor, and I just love those. I won't wear them outside if it's raining. Like, I'm only going to wear them when I need to flex at a workout on every
Oh, day. Yes.
So just at, like, open workouts.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Came in there with the goal to flex on everyone during that. I knew we were doing bar muscle up, so I was like, all right, everyone's seeing these bad boys today.
I mean, it's like the, what is it, look good, feel good? Like, yeah. Look good, feel good, you feel good, you play good. So it's one of those kinds of...
Here's the thing on those shoes. They cost $130, but I got them for $30. So...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Being a CrossFit level one, you get a discount, 25% off.
Okay.
Reebok had a sale for 50% off. They stacked it. I think it was actually an error. And so I got them for 75% off. Easy. The math might be a little wrong on that. I think it was like $33, but like, come on.
Come on. Wow. This isn't always physics. Run always run down. You know what two things you run down in life?
What?
Your 40 times in tax brackets.
All right.
So there's your lesson for the day. Something that I've noticed with Reebok, actually, since that's... Is that... Would you say that's your favorite brand?
Yeah, I would say that.
So, they used to be, like, a street shoe company, basketball, mm-hmm. got into football. They were actually the sponsor of the NFL for a time.
Okay.
And then Nike took over in 2012. And then it seemed like that Reebok pivoted to the CrossFit community.
Yes. So, what actually happened there was Reebok... saw that CrossFit was kind of in like a struggle. They needed some help getting up financially, and Reebok's like, listen, we'll sponsor the games, we'll have everything for it. You know, there's some deals that they just made with like CrossFit and payments and stuff, and so yeah, they helped CrossFit be what it is today.
I think that like really boosted Reebok too.
Oh yeah,
it re-got them back.
I feel
up
like
there.
They were yeah. just like. Super average, like they weren't anything to rant rave about. You weren't like, yeah. oh, I'm dying to get these Reebok shoes or Reebok
yeah.
shirts, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and then they saved CrossFit saved them pretty
sure.
much.
I mean, I'd wear and now they're just huge. Reeboks in like middle school, and you know, kids would make fun of you.
Oh, they had those.
Now,
yeah.
Now it's like, wow, those Reeboks are actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
They have dope lifting shoes.
Yeah.
They used to have those little pump shoes with the basketball on them.
Oh my gosh, those were
right.
so
like
cool.
back in the early 90s, mid 90s.
JJ Watt had those too.
Oh, and they all they had another pair of shoes. They were like cross training shoes, and they had this little flap on the front, and you would press a button, and then it would beep, and then it would you would have run, jump, and then broad jump.
No
and then
way.
You would click on it, and then you would run with it. And you're like, 1, 2, 3, and then you'd beep, and you'd run down the hallway.
It must have been in, like, the 80s or something.
Oh, I mean, it was back in, like, 2000. So, that was a time where, like, second grade teachers hated you, because every time you kicked the edge of, like, your desk, it would go off, and they would tell you not to have them in class anymore. So, that was a time for Reebok. That was my last pair of Reeboks, because my mom didn't like those. So,
Are the majority of your shoes... like weightlifting shoes or
yes and no. Man, I have every brand except Adidas. I actually was after a conversation we had, I don't have any Adidas shoes. I have everything else but that. So I have Nike. I don't have Noble actually. I just can't pull the trigger on that.
They look like Kevlar shoes.
What's that?
They look like Kevlar.
Which ones?
The Noble shoes.
Oh yeah. It's just the same shoe with different colors. But anyways, so I have Nike, I have Saucony, Reebok,
and one.
the Walmart shoe. No, I don't have that.
Man, how have they fallen? So
yeah. But now, you know, I used to go everywhere. You know, I've got probably 6 pairs of Sanuks. For no apparent reason. But now it's kind of like a quality sort of thing. My wife has kind of, we have a deal going is if I can get a pair of shoes for under 30, then I can buy it without having to like ask and talk about it. With the Reebok Nano 9 that's coming out soon, I'm already like groveling for that because that's going to be expensive.
It's like, babe, please.
Yeah.
It's like, you already have 55, but just imagine 56.
Yeah.
Imagine all the divisibles. I can set them up into like 7 boxes and have 4x4 boxes.
I have 1 through 8, so I have to get number 9.
Yes, yeah.
I have to keep the collection
like,
going.
Mom, I have to get Madden 20, but come on.
But I like to talk about shoes, and so I felt like I needed to get every kind of CrossFit shoe there is, and I've tried them all out, and I like them.
Oh, you're good. Don't worry. Go.
Yeah. Like, for example, Nike, never got really into them, but I've got the Metcon ones, and then I've got a pair of Flyknits. I've got almost every pair of the Nanos. What else do I have? I think that's it for CrossFit shoes. I really want to try the Skechers CrossFit shoe.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah.
Well, you are a dad, so it's required
you
to wear them.
You have to have Skechers as
dad
a dad. Bod.
Yeah.
Are they the, what is it, the Roundup ones?
The shape ups?
The shape ups, yeah.
No, I wish.
So
that's a flex.
So when you said you don't understand why people get like super expensive shoes.
Yeah.
So like, what if you bought a shoe for like, let's say $200, right? But it resells for, it has the potential to resell for like $1,200. Would you get the $200 shoe? Cause for example,
maybe if I was single.
Cause one of our buddies, he's married. He has a ton of shoes, and he buys shoes like that. But all of them can resell like, for like over like, between 800 and plus range.
Man.
So it's like, for that reason, I could see a purpose for it. Cause like they're super rare, like off-white Nike shoes. Like they're super rare. You could get those. Travis Scott just came out with like these Cactus Jack, his brand for Nike. So it's like, you can get like a $190 shoe and resell it for like $1,100. So like that I could see.
Like sneakerheads, right? Like
sneaker. But I was just curious as like what your take was on that.
I have maybe two pairs of sneakers. Like I have a pair of Kobe's. I think I have two pairs of Kobe's.
Black Mamba. Yeah. The best Mamba.
I like his shoes. They're really good. But like all my shoes are functional shoes, so I don't know if I could swing that one.
Okay.
You know, if it's like a run day that has box jumps and a weightlifting movement, I'm gonna wear my Nano 2s. If it's like a weightlifting day, I'm gonna wear my 7s. If it's a mixture of weightlifting and but no running, I'm gonna wear my 8s.
Alright, so I'm gonna ask you a question. Well, I've been asking questions. So if you're doing like box jumps and squats for a day, what type, I don't know the names of the shoes. What surface are you looking at the bottom of the shoe?
Flat.
Flat, just flat?
Yeah.
In general, so like a pair of Converse could work?
Ooh, I don't think there's much support in that one. Like the Reebok has a really good shoe because it, if you look at this shoe, I actually have one. If you guys listening, I have it in
bad
my
radio,
hand.
But it's good.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is a Reebok Nano 8. And see that heel?
Mm-hmm.
It's got this to keep you kind of in like, the shoe. Yeah, you're not going anywhere. But at the same time, it's got that
support.
So pretty much it bends like a free run, but it has support.
Like a Metcon.
Yeah.
So it bends like a free run.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it has support like a Nike, like a Metcon.
I can't imagine like coming down off a box jump in a Converse and landing straight on your heel. I feel like that would kind of hurt.
Yeah,
ask him. I don't know.
I mean, be an athlete. That's the only way I can say it. All
right.
Like something I've noticed, like I bought a pair of like Nike Freeze, but they were the Flyknit ones, and I tried like playing dodgeball in them one time. Never again because I fell.
Yeah.
Because like you fall out of your shoe because it's like a sock, and then you.
Oh.
Yeah,
I have a pair of those. I will never push a sled in those.
Yeah,
I've had them come straight off my foot when I'm pushing. Yeah,
like Nike Freeze, like
the Flyknit DSX.
They're really nice feeling, but it's like they'll slip right off.
Yeah,
so.
Those are a double undershoe for sure.
So in the games, I don't know what event it's called, but like they'll do like. I don't know. They'll do like power cleans and then like a mile run and then they'll like push a sled or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like what shoe would you wear for that? Because it's like a bunch of different, you're running, you're doing power lifts, you're pushing sleds. I mean, you're like climbing a rope. Like what?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you would need a super universal shoe.
Yeah. I feel like one of the Nanos, if they're not wearing a Speed TR, which is not a Nano, it's kind of like a modified running shoe, they're probably going to wear the Nano 8s. They can wear whatever they want now. I don't know if you guys know this, but they can wear whatever shoe to the game.
Oh, so they were required to wear a specific shoe.
Yeah, they had to wear all Reebok to the games.
Oh, wow.
So I'm assuming they would have worn the Nano 8s at the last games with
that.
So I ran in my Nano 8s. I'm not going to do a 5K in them, but I'll do a mile run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the vest on.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
That's what they do, right?
It's in like
you
two
wear
weeks.
The vest, right?
Murph, yeah. Murph's coming up.
So there's like seasons for like different, like you said, a Murph, then there's Fran, then there's the 12.2.
Yeah, they're all named workouts.
Or 19.1, I think that was like.
Yeah, those are open workouts. Oh, okay. Yeah, so 2019.5, so workout number 5. But Murph is named after somebody in the military. We do it on like Memorial Day to kind of celebrate the military. And run, 100 pull ups, 200 push ups. 300 air squats.
1776 something. in the heart.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I love Memorial Day weekend. I'm so ready for it. So.
Me too.
We're back with the Song of the Summer segment. So, Spencer, this is what Song of the Summer is. It is a song that signifies summer. And, but it's not just, it can be once, it is one song. It won't be the one song for the whole summer. It can be interchanging.
Okay.
It's just like the, it's an ongoing joke. The Song of the Summer. And then it goes on to the next week. Oh, this is the Song of the Summer. But then every time you hear a song, it reminds you of summer. It's Song of the Summer.
Yeah.
So like 2017, I'm the One by Justin Bieber. No, by DJ Khaled with Justin Bieber, Lil Wayne, Quavo.
Yeah.
That was Song of the Summer. But then it became like another Justin Bieber song I liked.
Yeah.
So spoiler alert, guilty pleasure I have is listening to Justin Bieber music. So
it's not bad.
So last week's Song of the Summer for me was Beer Never Broke My Heart by Luke Combs. So Josh, would you like to show him? What it like, just a snippet of it. So it was, did you listen to the last week's podcast?
Mm-hmm.
So that song at the end of it. Yeah. Oh yeah, just think about it. Does this remind you of you being on a boat?
Dude, I'm from a small town. It just sounds like walking down the road.
All right, so what would you say your Song of the Summer is for this moment?
Yeah, and I think if anyone's listening that I coach with at the gym, they know I love like SoundCloud rappers and just underground. And so it's hard for me to find a song of the summer. I mean, Macklemore just did one with Martin Garrix called Summer Days, I believe. It's got a really good part when Macklemore comes in. I mean, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard for me to say something that I don't think the yeah, that's it.
Oh, this is a summery song. All right.
I mean, they have palm trees as the album cover, so you know it's a summer song.
Oh, man. This one's feeling pretty good right now.
And it's called Summer. So this is definitely a summer song.
I brought my A-game for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, not springtime. You know how, you know when spring, you know when summer begins, right?
Yeah.
Right after spring break.
Yeah.
So, okay, good. You're on track with me on that one. Oh, yeah, remember my, so, you don't know my take. The groundhog take I had, I need to apologize for what I said about the groundhog. That I thought he was stupid, and that spring didn't come. Spring went and left, and summer came. So, Puxicatani Phil, you're my boy. My song of the summer right now is DJ Khaled just came out with a bunch of music, and he has a song called Jealous that has Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, and Big Sean.
Okay.
Just
that one's good.
If you find the hook for it, it'll be pretty fire.
I'll have to look for it, because not only are we like CrossFit instructors, but we're also the DJs, you know?
Yeah.
You have to have the right music.
All right, so I have a question. So what makes like a good like CrossFit song? Because there's like aerobics. You have to have like 1, 2, 3, 4. So a bunch of like just same beat over and over and over again. What makes a good CrossFit song?
Is it I mean, I think the only time I'm actually able to focus on the song is when we're doing heavy lifting. You know, we'll come in there and lift heavy, and so you can actually hear the music because you're, you know, pausing, and so you gotta have hard rap playing during that. I think old CrossFitters like to think 90s hard metal. I don't understand it personally.
I can't do that.
They love it, you know, Foo Fighters on a loop, you know, Enter Sandman, and I just don't understand it. But when you are going hard on a workout that's like 25 minutes long and you just have to get through it, I mean, you could play anything and people won't really hear it. But I'll play a lot of house music during that, just something with a very good steady beat that they're gonna be able to hear, is keeps them going. Yeah.
good.
But it can't be like
Waka Flocka Flame.
Sure.
Yeah, no, Gucci Mane, Waka Flocka, OJ the Juice Man. Well, I'm just naming off Atlanta rap.
No, you're good. When we listen to a lot of 21 Savage when I teach.
Oh, 21 Savage.
10 Freaking Girls. Oh. That song's fire.
Hanging on my neck, this is a rock.
I'll throw something in there randomly to mess with my clients. I'll throw in John Denver.
Baby Shark. Or Old Town Road.
Something to see if they're actually still there.
Well, 21 Savage is featured on this DJ Khaled's new album.
I'll have to check it out.
Him and Cardi B are in the same song.
They're pretty. They go pretty hard.
So, you know, it's going to be all over the place.
Yeah. The girls go crazy when you throw her on.
All right, Josh, what happened with your Song of the Summer? Are you still with Luke Combs right now? Or
Luke Combs is the artist of the summer.
Oh, that's a take. So, but I kind of like that take. He's been artist of the summer for the past summer.
But DJ Khaled's song with, you know, I had to listen to it a few times when you told me about it, with SZA, Just Us.
You know the song Miss Jackson?
Yeah.
By Outkast.
All right, play it.
So he changes it up. Oh, yeah.
He uses the beat, and it's fire.
Oh, man.
I had to listen to it a few times.
It, like, it's catchy.
Yeah.
Like, the hook is catchy.
I was like, at first I heard it, I was like, I don't think it's that good. And then you have to listen to it a few times.
Yeah.
It's, right. like, really good.
Another one.
You know who SZA is, right? SZA?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, she has a good voice with it, and it's, like,
going to flow. She does some stuff with Kendrick, and we listen to a lot of Kendrick as well.
Yeah, Kendrick.
Wow, well, Kendrick Lamar. Oh, yeah. Man. Good Kid, Mad City. Mad City, the song.
Mad City, yeah.
Oh, I can just think of it now. All right, so is there anything you want to plug in for, like, the podcast for the listeners for what you do?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you are local, the CrossFit gym here in town, Teton, great gym, love working there. We're moving to a new location this fall, actually.
Ooh.
So not so summer, but we're combining the Rock Gym and Teton CrossFit into one thing. So
it's going to be dope. So they're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right, so... thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure, and this has been fun. I learned a lot more about shoes and like CrossFit in general. It's
way cool.
It's a good way of working out because it's good. Because obviously it's functional.
Yeah.
Functional.
Lifestyle,
so
man.
Thanks. Yeah. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you guys next week.